Hello, Igloo friends. This is Ryan Gilmer. I'm here on the line with Nick Adams and Eric Mitchell. We're doing our preview podcast, I suppose. I'll admit, I'm doing it for Joel. I'm standing this for Joel. He wants some action. I'm going to give him action. That's what we're here for. We do have, for those interested, I know this has been discussed a lot recently, but we do have a three-bullet podcast format today. We have a draft recap, followed by a matchup preview, followed by a response to Brian's newly issued power rankings, which I'm ready to respond to now, but we're going to leave that tasty little guy till the end. So without further ado, we're going to go ahead and start discussing the draft. So while I bring up that, while I bring up the draft results, I guess we'll start with round one, guys. Round one, first round. Let's talk about the maybe like the first half of the first round. Any surprises? Anything that you thought should have gone differently? Let's start with Eric, who had the first overall pick. Eric, what did you ever consider anybody besides Rodgers?
I didn't, just because, mostly because of the keeper league. It just made complete sense. I think Rodgers is a lock for the next 3 years. You know, some of the running backs obviously are really great players to have, but they're, aside from Ray Rice, I think a lot of the running backs are, I don't want to call them injury prone, but they're not as safe.
I think you just called them injury prone, Eric. I think that's exactly what you just called them.
No. No, I think you know, in the rest, you know, the other quarterbacks, great picks, Breeze and Brady, they'll have a lot of production, but they're getting old, and there's just a little bit more insecurity there with the next 3 years. So I think Rodgers is pretty much a lock for the next 3 years, which I'm pretty happy about.
Yeah, I would be pretty happy.
Yeah, you? our keeper-ish league, I'll keep saying that. You get to keep him for a whole two extra seasons after this one, so that's pretty exciting.
That's actually a good point, because the keeper element is yet to be really explored, and I think we're not really sure what the ramifications are going to be. McGinnis has already traded off his second-round pick, basically is on record as saying he doesn't think keeper thing is going to be a big deal. I don't know. We'll have
McGinnis is going for the glory this year. He's going for a W. That guy, he's cruising to be the first back-to-back champion the Igloo League's ever seen.
Yeah, but I think most people think keepers are like the whole first round's going to get kept, but I don't know that that's actually going to be the case. I don't know what'll happen, but I'll be interested to see what happens with keepers, because I
bet Maddie keeps Larry Fitzgerald.
I don't know. We should be able to gamble on this though and have some type of odds. Like if Maddie keeps Fitzgerald, what is that, like 8-1 odds you get if Maddie keeps Fitzgerald?
Well, what about you, Ryan? Did you you got Calvin Johnson? Were you did you look at McCoy when he fell to you?
You know, I really, my whole draft would have probably turned out a lot differently had I taken McCoy, because basically what happened every round was, honestly, not having a second-round pick, and there were a bunch of guys that went off the board, including a few running backs. And then by the time it got to round three, Joel took Richardson right ahead of me, and I probably would have taken him. I didn't really want Marshawn Lynch for whatever reason. I don't know. There were a lot of guys that kind of scared me. But basically, the first however many rounds, receiver was the most obvious pick. So if I would have gone McCoy first, I wouldn't have had such a hole at running back, which is kind of what I have now. So if I could go back, I might consider McCoy, but I'm not a big McCoy guy. Honestly, he worked out well for me last year, but I think he scored like 20 touchdowns and still was like 50 points behind Rice. If you compare his stats with like Sproles, who we'll talk about probably in a little bit, like they're pretty much the same player, and Sproles was much more consistent because he gets like 8 checkdowns a game, and in our league, the way the point system works, he scores a bunch of points off that stuff, whereas McCoy was really like had to score touchdowns in order to score. So I didn't really like McCoy. I'm pretty happy, I guess, I took Calvin Johnson, but it kind of screwed up the rest of my draft in terms of like not having running backs, basically. So
sure.
Yeah. I want to talk. I think that the second round, potentially the second round keeper could really get you the most value. I mean, I think if your first round keeper is more straightforward, but if you have two really good players, that, I mean, if you if you strike gold and you happen to have, you know, two potential first round players, you could potentially get two first round grade players for a first and a second round pick. I know that's not as likely, but I think there's a possibility that some people can get some really great value. Some really great value there, especially someone like John. You know, if Jimmy Graham has another terrific season, and you're looking at Darren McFadden as well, I mean, he may decide just to keep the two of those and continue to have great value from them.
Well, I'm sure Darren McFadden will give him a nice, you know, three or four games before he gets hurt again.
That's possible. Very possible.
No, what about tight end in the first round this year by Paul Stopher, one of the West Coast members of this league?
Hey, why don't we – I'm going to ask a question here because you were drafting with Paul. I want to know how much there was how much of this is a committee meeting between you guys picking your guys, and how much of it was like you guys just making the decisions. I want to know that.
Between Paul and I?
Yeah, I feel like you kind of were maybe bouncing ideas off each other.
I mean, we chatted. You know, it was like I think that Paul and I, you know, our combined knowledge of football would be about one quarter compared to any of the other members of the league except for maybe Steph.
Dude, you can't call her out because she'll listen to this.
I hope she does. I love Steph. That's exactly why I called her out, because I want a Facebook message about this tomorrow.
I know, yeah.
But so, yeah, we chatted, but, you know, I don't really view that as collusion, because at one point he asked me a question and I said, I would choose this guy based on nothing. And yeah. So he said, yeah, good. You know, yeah, we chatted.
Yeah, so Gronkowski at 13 was an interesting pick. A lot of people thought he would take McFadden, but
burned last year,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, burned. Yeah, that's totally it. And I forget who it was. I think I was talking to Brian, and it was like, "Oh, Paul take McFadden." I'm like, "No, Paul won't take McFadden because he has bad experience with McFadden. McFadden got hurt, and he was on Paul's bench all year, and so he's going to go somewhere else." So Gronkowski, the other pick that was interesting to me was, I know Aaron loves Breeze, but I think she could have gone somewhere else. Breeze would have fallen to me, I would not have been super thrilled. I was trying to talk it up like I'd be thrilled if Breeze fell to six, but I really don't know. Their whole season has kind of gotten jacked up, and their coach is suspended a whole year, and it's just a weird situation. It just has a weird vibe to it. So he might be great. He was great last year, but I just, something about him.
I think the fact that she really likes that guy, combined with his potential, made it an okay pick. Like, I don't think it's a bad pick. You know, I was like, oh, okay, good.
Yeah,
you know?
Drew Brees to me is like the quote in Office Space where Lawrence, where everyone tells Peter that his girlfriend's cheating on him. Like, oh yeah, I always got the feeling.
Yeah, I get that feeling too, Ryan.
That's the feeling I have with Drew Brees. It's like, and then he's going to leave a message on Aaron's answering machine about week six and be like, I've been cheating on you!
Well, you know, Aaron was fishing for information for me like she usually does before the season, and trying to get me to consult her and trying to get all kinds of different information. And, you know, she was really torn. And I think she correctly said that the number two spot is probably one of the more difficult spots, because she was going to essentially set the lineup for the rest of the people that she'll be playing against. And that's what she did. She let Ray Rice go to Dave, who I would argue has really one of the more potentially phenomenal teams. I was really impressed with Dave. He was patient enough. If Schaub can stay healthy, this team is going to be dynamite. So yeah, she was really torn about it. It's a tough spot, you know, especially after everyone pretty much knew what I was going to do.
Yeah, can I defend Maddie's Larry Fitzgerald pick?
No,
no.
I'm gonna try. Here's my argument. He's always had awful quarterbacks for the last however many years since Kurt Warner retired, and he's still been pretty productive. I mean, his quarterback situation is not getting worse. It's not getting worse.
Wes Welker or Larry Fitzgerald, who do you take?
I don't know. Let me bring that up. I'm going to quickly right-click on players, open link in new tab, and we're going to compare total points, Wes Welker and Larry Fitzgerald.
I tell you right now, I had Fitzy last year, and I lost my second round pick due to that douchebag. It's not worth it. Wes Welker in a PPR league is superior by far, especially because he has a tremendous quarterback throwing to him. This whole Cobb-Skelton thing is going to ruin Fitzy from a fantasy perspective. It's not going to be good. And I think, actually, he's going to want out of there after this season because they're not going to be – I think they could end up with the worst record in the league.
All right, So I have some statistics. Let's let the numbers talk, all right? Here, Wes Welker had 330 points, and Larry Fitzgerald had 260 points. So, so Wes Welker was 70 points better. Over 16 games, that's roughly, 4 points per week better? That's a pretty significant advantage. It looks like they both played 16 games. Welker last year had 122 receptions, 1,569 yards. He averaged almost 100 yards a game receiving. He had 9 TDs. If you look, let's look at his game log, because he went off the first, couple weeks. Yeah, Miami, the first week, 8 catches, 160 yards, 2 TDs. Third week against Buffalo, 16 receptions, 217 yards, and 2 TDs. Now, if you think that Wes Welker is going to have 122 receptions, I'd take the under. 1,600 yards, I'd take the under. There's no way he's going to have the kind of year he had last year, especially with Lloyd there now. He had some games that were just like video game-like, where coming out of the lockout, nobody had practiced, Brady went nuts. Eric, you had Brady last year. You remember he went nuts.
Yep.
You were helicoptering after everyone was telling you reached on Brady. But then after that,
you
came back more to earth a little bit.
I suppose.
Yeah.
Yeah. We should create the Fitzy Award for whoever picks that loser.
Yeah. Anyways, Fitzgerald had 80 receptions, 1,400 yards, and 8 TDs. So Welker had 40 more receptions, a couple hundred more yards, and one more touchdown. And I don't see Fitzgerald having a worse. I don't see him having a worse year this year than he had last year. He's basically to me, that's his floor. Welker, what he had last year was his ultimate high rise ceiling.
Hey,
that's
Ryan,
what I'm gonna say,
do me a favor. Take your hand off of Maddie's balls right now, and let's get back to this podcast.
Hey.
Can we talk about...
Don't make fun of Maddie. All right.
Can we talk a little bit about Cornbread, who took Brandon Pettigrew ahead of Antonio Gates?
Yeah, that was potentially the worst... That was not potentially. That was the worst pick of the draft. When he picked that, I was like, ooh. Because I was looking for Gates, or I was contemplating, well... Because who else was on the board at that time? I thought there was another tight end that was on the board still. Finley, not him, though.
Finley.
Oh, Hernandez. Beck took Hernandez, and then I'm thinking, okay, I've got to take Gates because I wanted Gates or Hernandez. And then Cornbread takes Pettigrew, and I was like, what the hell is he doing? And then I took Gates, whatever. But, yeah, that was pretty bad. I think Gates will be better than Pettigrew, but I don't know. He's supposed to be healthy and whatever. There's probably a couple other tight ends I would have rather had besides Pettigrew, but oh well. Anything else, I guess, in the first, five rounds that stood out as, an odd, why did this guy pick this kind of thing?
I don't know. I think in general, I was expecting more running backs to go off the board, I think a lot of people went on a lot of wide receivers, which, we'll see how that works out, because I think typically people value running backs more than wide receivers, but that wasn't the case in this draft. And I was really ecstatic to have someone like Ahmad Bradshaw fall to me at the end of the fourth round. I think we'll see how it goes. Like I said, Ryan, you didn't hesitate in taking wide receivers, and I know that you're feeling like you're left wanting in regards to the running back situation. But what was it about the wide receivers?
I just feel like those are the best players when I picked. I didn't really like any of the running backs. In fact, there aren't very many running backs that are that good. And I just didn't have a chance to take a lot of them. I wasn't really crazy. I guess I could have taken Steven Jackson in the third round if I really wanted a running back. I could have foregone a bunch of receivers and gone Steven Jackson, and that was probably a decent pick by Paul in the third round. I think he'll be all right. I just hesitate on guys with bad teams. I don't like taking a lot of risk, I guess. I like to know as much as possible what to expect. And I guess Steven Jackson's kind of a veteran, so he's kind of been around. But I just the Rams, to me, I don't know what's going to happen with them.
They have a new offense with Jeff Fisher. And just, I mean, think about Chris Johnson and his, you know, heyday.
Yeah.
You got to think that they're going to use Steven Jackson in much of the same way. I think Jackson's main risk is injuries, of course. But if he can stay healthy, I think that they'll use him a lot in a really effective way. So I think he could really work out well.
Can we do something real quick before we get on to the later rounds of the draft? Can we analyze John's first five picks?
I think that's a good idea. And then after that, we should probably – let's just go to the matchups. And I think through the matchups, we can draw out, you know, the later rounds of the draft comment. Right. But I think that's a great idea to talk about John's
Let's
team.
Talk John. And Eric, I want to give you the floor here. I want to give you the floor here to dissect John's abilities.
No, I think – well, first of all, I think, you know, we'll get to the power rankings. But John was ahead in the power rankings, and I think he deserves that. I think he does have the best team. But he did some things that I wasn't anticipating – and it could very well work out for him in a tremendous way, or he could crash and burn. You know, McFadden, I think, is a good pick, very good value at the 14th spot. Jimmy Graham, I think, is just going to be a tremendous player. I wasn't expecting him to take a tight end that high, but I think it's a terrific pick and will go far for him. Jamal Charles was the head scratcher for me, only because I read several articles that talked about how there was going to be such a timeshare with him and Peyton Hillis. And I read a couple articles that said that it would be as much as 50-50 in terms of carries, which would decrease Charles' value a great deal. Plus, he said injury in the past. And, you know, it just was surprising. Now, I could be completely wrong, and he could be a beast. Charles is just a very big unknown for me, you know, that was a little bit of a head-scratcher. But I think Brandon Marshall is going to be tremendous, paired up with Jay Cutler. You know, the boys are back again, and, you know, they're gonna team up really well. And you could see a lot of that connection in the preseason. I mean, I know it's preseason, but you could really see them going far. Michael Vick, I've had him. He's worked out for me. Again, I see him in the same way. You know, actually, he's a little bit more of a little bit more secure than Jamal Charles, I think. But like, I think Vick could really work out for him really well, or could crash and burn again. So, but I think overall, John had a decent draft. I think he picked the right players in the right spots in general. And you know, Brandon Lloyd in the third round. You know, Brandon Lloyd was a little quiet in the preseason, so I'd be curious to see how it really works in the regular season. I was really high on him early on, but then, you know, when he tailed off, you didn't really see him in the preseason at all. It gave me a little feeling of Chad Johnson, who really didn't pick up very well the offense. So, you know, we'll see how that goes. Doug Martin, I think, is going to be great value in round four, just because I think they're going to use him a lot. So, again, I think he made the best of his opportunities. And I think there's definitely some risk there, and we'll see how it goes. You know, I think he is a great team.
Nick?
I want to call John's team the Red Cross. Because I feel like this guy picked up every loser that got hurt last year. Okay. So I don't know if he has something like – he's like, oh, I'm for, you know, the NFL players who have been injured. But he's the Red Cross in my eyes. But I think we're really all lucky that John got screwed into having the last pick for the third consecutive year. Because if he had gotten bumped up higher – I mean, I think he does have a good team. I'm just busting his chops. But – I would just, like, if he had, like, Ray Rice or Rodgers or someone like that, we'd have been in a world of hurt. So it sucks for him that he got the bottom pick, but good for everybody else.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I couldn't agree more. I think, John, the only pick that I think you can question is Charles over Sproles. You want to know what Charles – here's what Charles did in 2010 when he was healthy. By the way, sharing carries with a guy, I believe Thomas Jones, that year. You want to know what he did that year in a team share? He had 230 rushes, almost 1,500 yards rushing and 5 touchdowns. He had 45 receptions, almost 500 yards receiving, and 3 more touchdowns. So he almost had 2,000 scrimmage yards, 8 TDs, and 45 receptions.
Yeah, but that was a whole other coaching staff.
Dude,
talking about the caliber of the player. I'm saying,
caliber of the player, he had a 6.4 yard rushing average in 2010. He has legit big time upside. The other picks, I don't even think you can question taking McFadden at the end of the first round. I don't think you can even question taking Vic at the end of the second round. Mr. Everyone loves Mr. Champion Brian McGinnis, who took Vic at 9 last year. And Vic has the same upside now that he had last year.
I disagree. I disagree because we saw Vic get marginalized at the end of last season, you know, before he got his little ribs hurt. Once people realized what they needed to do to calm him down, he wasn't nearly as big of a threat as he was at the beginning of the year.
Well, Michael Vick had some very young offensive linemen blocking for him last year, and you have to think that those linemen have developed a little bit more, so his line will be better. But maybe they won't. You know, maybe his line will still suck, and you know he'll get battered pretty good. I don't know. We'll
he's
see.
Still the same, like, video game quarterback, though. Like, he still can run. He still can do all the same things he can. He still has injury risk, just like he had last year, but nobody was busting McGinnis's balls at ninth in the first round when he took Vic, when Vic could be the overall leading point scorer in fantasy. And John got that guy at the bottom of the second round at 28. I just don't see how he was going to pass him. For who? He's going to pass him for, like, Ryan Matthews, DeMarco Murray. Like, what's he needed a quarterback. He already had a tight end, a running back, and 2 receivers.
I think Vic could really deliver. He could. He could prove me wrong, but I think in that spot, I probably would have went with Matt Ryan because Matt Ryan's got a ton of upside this year.
Matt Ryan's white, and he can't run, and he plays in the dome, and he's a big puss.
You go to fantasyfootballtoolbox.com.
Michael Vick is a boss.
You're a toolbox, Nick.
The point is,
all right, guys, we're 25 minutes in. Fine. We should probably keep this thing moving.
No, I don't care about your time limits. I want to make one final point on John's team. I think this is the point I want to make that Nick already made, and I want to reemphasize it, is John, I think, did the best he could with the hand he was dealt with the lottery position that he had. If he was able to get a top 5 pick and was able to get Brady or Breeze or Rodgers or Rice or Foster, nobody would be like – you know, crowing in the background about how, oh, John's going to figure out a way to F it up. I think he did a pretty decent job. I think he had a pretty good draft overall. That's
And I do know that John was jonesing for Sproles. He told me that he was going to take him with that 6th round of the 2nd round if I hadn't snagged him up. So
trade would have been null and void at that point.
Exactly. A little inside information. The only reason I reveal that is because I know John's the guy who leaked that I wanted Cam Newton because he's the only person I covered.
Yeah. Well, hey, John, by the way, I do want Charles in a trade, so if you want to trade me Charles, you know, call me maybe. All right.
And both John and Ryan, Cam could possibly be for sale middle of the season. We'll see. We'll talk. Okay.
That's all right. I have Roethlisberger. I'm good.
Yeah, he'll be.
Let's do matchups. Are we going on to matchups now?
Let's do matchups.
We're a half hour in, so let's do.
Yeah. Oh, now you care about the time. 25 minutes doesn't matter. 27 minutes.
We're
half
hour in. Hey, I know everyone's busy. All right, I know everyone's got things to do. Well, let's go matchups then. First matchup, the matchup of the week by far, Goat Punishment versus the Stringing Guitars. I've garnered 8 vote to 1 advantage. But, I mean, let's talk about it. What do you guys think?
Well, I think that, you know, Joel really doesn't stand a chance now that he benched Kellen Winslow. But I think when he had Winslow in there, he really had a chance.
That's good. I like that. That's We're going to give Joel, you know where Joel's going to go this weekend? He's going to go to the House of Pain. That's where Joel's going to go. That's where I'm going to put him in the House of Pain. Meanwhile, I'm going to be in the House of Pleasure. That's right.
I don't know. I think Joel's got to – I think maybe Joel goes as Trent Richardson goes.
Yeah, I agree.
The guy has to if he comes up big and for some reason, you know, Pierre Garçon catches a couple balls, then Joel's in it. But if those two guys don't show up, then I think you're going to have a pretty – you're going to be licking your chops.
This week I've got Rashad Jennings, who's going to start and get a decent amount of points against Minnesota, I would think. I've got to figure out if I'm going to start Hakeem Nicks or not, because he's questionable for tomorrow night, and he hasn't practiced, like, in years. So I have Amendola in the starting lineup now, but I want to start Nicks, and
I would make that trade. I would put Nicks up there.
I will if he plays. I just want to make sure he's active. All indications, he says he's going to play. The indications are that he's going to play, but if he's not, I have some stuff going on tomorrow night, and I'm not having him in the lineup and then having him be inactive and starting him inactive. I'm not making that mistake. So
does Joel really – he's got Rivers for trade bait. Is that what's going on here?
Yeah, you know? That was kind of – I don't know what the deal was with that. He probably could have used another position player, like a receiver or a tight end or something in that.
I think Joel's team will get better throughout the season. I think Richardson's going to have a slow start, but he's going to really get going, I think. Could really work out for him. And you have to think that Joel's going to make – he's made some pretty savvy trades in the past. So we'll see. I'm curious to see what he might do to better his team or not. You know, maybe he'll sell off and
– he's committed to making moves one way or the other. I think that's out there. That's out there.
And I for one, respect that mentality. Yeah.
He's going to be an all or nothing. He's going to be a feast or famine team this year.
All right, what's the next matchup you want to talk about, Ryan?
Oh, yeah, okay. Why don't we talk about B to the Mac versus Delicious Jurevicious?
All right. I do not have high hopes for Dustin Keller. I've had him a little bit, but you never know. Every once in a while, he pulls off about two or three games out of his ass. And he does well the rest of the season. Like as a bulk, he doesn't really do a whole lot. I think Steph's got a decent team. I really think Eli, you know, we always say this every year, but I think Eli's gonna really have a great season. I mean, he's definitely more of like a playoff quarterback. He struggles during the regular season, or he's sort of up and down. But I don't know. I just think that offense is clicking, and I think she'll have a decent team. I don't think DeSean Jackson's going to be as good as people think, but we'll see. You know, I just don't think he's the focal point like he was before. So we'll see. I'm not a fan of Reggie Bush. I don't think – unless there's tons of dump-offs, which I think he might be hoping for. Kevin Smith will last a few quarters, and he'll hurt his ankle. but I still think – I think Brian will pull it off.
He's projected for more points, which – look, we all know, we've all been around this fantasy league long enough to know that every prediction based on, it starts with the projected points. That's where we go. All right, we have to start there. So Brian's favored by like 14 points. I would take Steph against the spread by 14 points because I think Keller may not catch a ball at all. Once Tebow gets in the second quarter, then we're going to see how many balls Dustin Keller catches. You know, like he's
right.
I don't know. McGinnis was we'll talk about this later, I guess, but he loves his team. I think it's got some holes. But I think he's probably, you know, he's probably likely to win this week just because of the Sproles addition. That really helps, too. That gives him another, you know, solid guy he can count on. So I like McGinnis in that, I guess, for this week. Cornbread Steel City. What do we got here? The relegation battle? Is this like who's gonna avoid relegation? Is that what this is?
What do we got here?
We've got a marquee quarterback matchup of Alex Smith versus Jay Cutler. So
I think Cutler's gonna have a good year this year. They're really flushing out his targets. I think he's gonna have a good year. Mark McAdams stamp right here. Jay Cutler's going to turn some heads.
Well, he's projected for very few amount of points, considering that he's playing against Indianapolis. I think he's projected at 14.49 points. I think Cutler's going to definitely make that. I'd see him in the 20s against Indy. So I think Maddie could potentially pull this off. Although Marshawn Lynch had a little bit of an injury, I think back spasms I read today. So that's definitely.
And I like watching Mike Wallace play, so I hope he has a good game.
Yeah, you've always had kind of a hard-on for Mike Wallace, dude.
Man, that guy makes some great catches.
You know, he's the black wide receiver for the Steelers, right? Not that news anchor guy or whatever. You know that?
I don't know who's going to win this one, but it should be a good matchup. I think McCoy will have a field day with the Browns. So.
Yeah, that's true. The Browns were the worst rushing defense in the league last year, and they have no Phil Taylor, no linebackers. I would expect McCoy to probably have a pretty decent day. Yeah, he'd probably have a good day.
No, I refuse to believe that. Let's go on.
Yeah, okay, Eric. We'll talk about the Browns at the end. Let's go Lucky 7, Fuzzy Duck.
Here we go. A couple of Titans smacking each other in the face.
You know, Aaron doesn't really – I mean, Aaron really lacks a running back. I think Mark Ingram, first of all, he's not starting for the Saints, which really doesn't mean a whole lot. But any running back for the Saints, I think, has been proven that just not consistent, for at least for fantasy. It works out for the team in real football. But, you know, that I just – it's a lot of – I mean, he could go off and I could be completely – left wishing that I had not said this over the podcast, but and then we have, you know, Felix Jones. She's starting Felix Jones.
I seriously want Felix Jones to have a 90-yard touchdown run this week, and just that would be like the ultimate like FU from Felix Jones to Eric, because after
it really would run
against you, that would be pretty priceless. Yeah, Matthews is hurt. Matthews is hurt, and he's not playing. Like that guy would be Matthews if he was healthy, which he probably will be in a week or two. But this week he's not, so you get the benefit from that. So,
are you going to start Witten? Do you think, Eric?
Oh no, I think he's doubtful. it's not worth it. I mean, because they have such an early game, I think if they are playing on Sunday, he would be okay. But, you know, it looks like I'm just going to keep Fleener in there and hope for the best.
Well, anytime you have to you auto-draft a guy with a lacerated spleen, you pretty much have to do that.
If I had a nickel for every time that's happened to me.
Every time I auto-drafted a guy with a lacerated spleen.
A few people got busted by that auto-draft. I know it got Paul on one. He picked up a running back that he wasn't looking for.
I honestly don't think Witten's that bad pick. Witten was, he got him like in the sixth or seventh round. I mean, Witten's been a remarkably consistent type.
No, he's a great player.
It's just funny that he's out this week or whatever. So
yeah.
How about the Koi Pond Pirates? I almost said Pilots.
Are we going to the McCoy Pond Pirates versus
Kavanaugh?
Versus Kavanaugh.
Sure, then we'll track back to the Meerkats.
What's the over-under of Nick being picked for any wins this season?
I got to tell you, that's kind of, I mean, number one, hold on, I'm picking myself right now. So, okay, 9-1. but look, if you look at the spread, if we're always starting with the point projections, right? Indy's got me 97-76 to 89-57. If anyone in this league knows how to lose, it's Andy. Okay? So he could donk off and lose to me here. Let's see how it would happen. Andre Johnson doesn't get any catches.
You don't remember the glory years for Andy. You don't remember the glory years for Andy. Andy was the most formidable opponent in the league.
Andy created the environment we have now. The competition we have now is created because Andy kicked our ass in like 2009, I think it was. And he just obliterated the league, and we're like, uh-oh. Andy was the most feared. Has
shit
been
got real then.
Fantasy manager in the history of the modern live ball era, post 2007 or whenever the league got real. Andy has been by far the early years. He like got everybody pumped to be like, oh, we got to take this guy down.
So did he win? He won his first year? Or
crushed. He crushed it bad. I remember because I was like, God damn it, Andy, I can't beat him.
He's no, yeah.
Ever.
That was,
you know?
That was the time when, that was the time when Andy had all the high-tech like phones and everything, and he would monitor everything.
Yeah.
And, you know, pick up the latest guy in the waiver wire when someone got hurt and everyone else was like, you know, out doing stuff and nobody really was paying attention. And Andy was just like, he had like five computers set up on a desk and he had everything tracking, watching all the games. And
right. But do you remember how the Cavs used to have LeBron James and now they don't? Right. Like people rise to the top and then they become, you know, Cleveland sports fans. So we'll see. All I'm saying is, I'm a pretty optimistic guy. I think I've got a shot in this matchup. Not in all matchups, but in this one.
No, I think you do. He has no Adrian Peterson, which hurts him. Stevie Johnson's going to be on Revis Island, which could – I mean, I had him last year, and he had one pretty decent game against Revis. And one pretty bad game against Revis, I think. But – you know, I think it's a winnable game. You're gonna need like a 20-point performance out of like Lance Moore, maybe, or a touchdown out of Tammy, or a long, you know,
McGahee,
a long touchdown run. I don't know, something. You're gonna need one of those guys to bust a big play to get you something. So, but I think it's in range. But I think it's gonna be an uphill fight for the MPP.
You're being nice, Ryan.
It's gonna be an uphill fight this year. We talk about John and Paul.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, John is a heavy favorite in points, but Paul's team is sneaky good. I think Locker could actually have a decent week against New England. He's a mobile quarterback. He might get a rushing touchdown. He might be able to put up 300 yards, you know, two TDs against in a kind of a shootout type game.
New England starting.
Hmm?
I have New England's defense starting. Oh, yeah. I hope.
Well, that's cool because, I mean, they're not very good, but, I mean, I hope they do well for you, so.
Well, it was either San Francisco against Rodgers and the Packers or New England against Jake Locker, so take your pick.
Paul has Houston's defense against Miami, which could be – that could be a big day potentially with a rookie quarterback making his first start on the road. They're not going to be able to run against Houston. I don't know. Paul could get a good day there. It's really the key to his week is Locker, I think. The key to his season is like his quarterbacks.
So, yeah, I think that makes sense. And Cam Newton may be for sale.
Yeah, you should be able to swing that deal, really, if that's a match made in heaven right there.
Paul's pretty I think he likes to be in the mix all the time. So, he's not a guy, similar to you, Ryan, he's not a guy that is going to mortgage his future. You know, he doesn't.
Yeah.
He's more humble than most of us, I would say. And I like that because, you know, Brian, you know, the rest of us, me anyway, I just want to get the gloating rights. I don't care if the next year I'm terrible. Yeah. I'm the guy who played quarterback in high school and then, you know, did nothing else, but then he's, you know, he's Al Bundy and he's 50. Yeah, I had the glory days. I'm okay with that. I don't think Paul's that kind of guy.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. John's starting Doug Martin, who everybody already knows is going to make the Hall of Fame, even though he hasn't played a game in his career yet. And he plays for a shitty-ass Tampa team. It's going to suck. But Bill Barnwell says they're going to regress, so I guess they're going to have to win 7 games. Whatever. I mean, good luck to you. If Doug Martin works out, I'll tip my hat at the end of the year. Much like Doug Martin is the new Fernando Torres. He's my new object of my scorn. That guy that John likes that I just think is ridiculous. So, but and he's sitting Toby Gerhart, at least as of now, which that may not be as bad, but he's got Lloyd, he's got Reggie Wayne, and he's starting Martin in a flex spot.
You love Reggie Wayne, dude.
Dude, I love Reggie Wayne. I love me my Colts, man. That's what I do. All right? And actually, he has a quarterback throwing to him this year, so he's going to be – I think he's going to be all right.
Yeah, that's true.
At least we know he can play football. We don't know that about Doug Martin yet. Now, maybe he can. Who knows? But we'll find out.
I voted for Paul in this matchup. Just so
Paul's got a fighting chance. I think he's got a fighting chance, and I think in the interest of, I mean, the league has got to be rooting for Paul, right? I mean,
at least I like either guy to win. I mean, these are two quality managers. Whoever
gets John not have a target on his back?
Yeah, I mean this is, it'd be like the Yankees starting the year like 4-12. You know, like being like, oh my gosh, what's happening? You know, like an 0-1 week is going to put a lot of pressure on John to juggle these bench guys, because a lot of his bench guys, he's got a really deep roster. He's got a really good team, but he's got to figure out how to make that, like, he's got to
pick
one guy out of four to make that start in that flex spot, you know?
And
that,
yeah, you're right. Like, it's tough to play. He doesn't want to wake up, you know, Monday, Tuesday morning and see somebody on the bench with 17, you know? I hear you.
Yeah.
Well, I could see John losing a little bit of hair this season, I mean, from all the anxiety. I think, you know, there's always a little nervousness on game day when you're on the draft tracker or on the game tracker. But, you know, I don't know. I think he'll be nervous during those games, making sure everything goes right, because he's, you know, all the pressure's on. He had the, you know, the best advantage going into the draft. He drafted pretty well, and you know he's the favorite for sure.
Yeah, that's true. But top performers know how to, they separate their effort from the result, and I think John will do a good job of that this year. He did everything he could. Now he's got to continue to manage it effectively. He definitely wants to win. We'll see what happens here. Beck Summy.
Summy.
I always say that to myself, so I thought I'd say it out loud.
All right, Summy.
This is a close one.
Toss up.
Well, I just don't like Michael Crabtree at all, and I don't like Santonio Holmes. I don't like anyone on the Jets' offense this year, so I just can't go for Beck. I mean, I just think that's really a weakness. I'm really hoping that Tony Romo gets scared and just dumps off to DeMarco Murray all the time. And that would be really awesome. But
Eric, we're not talking about your matchup right now, Eric.
I like
Beck.
that's what we're going to talk about. Dave. I think Dave has a solid team, and I think aside from, you know, I could see the Jets, you know, really getting scored on a lot by Buffalo, you know, opening season, opening game, but I think he's got a solid team.
Dude, Dave.
Yeah, Dave did a really nice draft.
Antonio Brown is on his bench as of right now.
Yeah, that's great.
But Antonio Brown's really good, and he made the thing. He typed in. He kind of gave me a little thing on Stat Tracker about how he won't, you know, make the same mistake twice and drop Antonio Brown. I actually was fine taking Miles Austin as well, but I would have taken Brown had he not taken him. But I think there's a lot of other guys that were comparable. But Antonio Brown's is good, and I think. I mean, he's a possession guy. He's going to get a ton of catches. He'll be very good. But there could definitely be weeks where Bo has, like, a 30-point week, and then the next week he has, like, 7 points. I feel like he could be more of, like, a boomer bust guy. Antonio Brown is more consistent. But that's the challenge, too. But I guess – and the other thing is Dave has all his eggs in Ray Rice's running back basket. So, if he gets hurt or something, I mean, he's going to have to – Dave, I love Dave because he drafts like Steelers and then Lions guys and like just guys he knows, and he's a knowledgeable guy, but he's always looking for that, like, that guy he watches, like he sees all the time. He takes that edge and rolls with it. Kenny Britt pick was a really good pick. That was second round or something.
That's gonna really work out well for him.
I mean, so that was good. But yeah. I don't know. What's the matchup look like? It's about even? Yeah, Beck won't win. Can Beck? I don't know.
No,
he can't win. Beck.
No, I voted for.
You know, it's going to be a great matchup. It's Beck versus
Jinx Dave, but
Nick.
Yeah, I just reverse Jinx Dave, so he'll probably lose now. Dave, I apologize for that. All right,
Ryan, you're up, buddy. We are going on to
draft
the rankings. Power rankings, and I'm going to give you the floor this time because I know that you. You're fired up about this.
Yeah, I'm not happy with Brian just giving himself some play. It's like he just put the gold bond on his balls and then just proceeded to enjoy the next, like, 10 minutes or whatever. It's just like he thinks, look at his team. He thinks so. He's so great. Oh yeah, Bush, Reggie Bush, is gonna somehow morph into this great. He's the man in Miami. Okay. He also says that Harvin's gonna be a top five wide receiver. Okay, I hope that happens.
Do you think it'll happen?
No, it won't happen because Percy Harvin is very susceptible to injury, in my opinion. And he could get a concussion and be out for 5 games. That's like what can happen. I believe that has happened in his past. The thing about Brian, the tight end thing, he just sweeps under the rug. Like, he didn't draft the shittiest tight end in the league, you know, on the shittiest team with the shittiest quarterback in the league. And he's like, oh yeah, no big deal, but I'm the man, I have all this stuff. So, like, I know he's a champ, he's my boy, but I don't like the fact that he put himself fourth and put me eighth. I just think, like, all the question marks he had, he just swept under the rug. All the question marks I had, he just brought them out. And that's just not cool with me. So, there. There, McGinnis. We're going to find out. We're going to find out. What do you say?
Do you feel like he would have put himself higher if other people weren't reading it?
No, I think he's objective in how he does things.
He does a good job with that. He
does a good job with it. I don't think he's like... I think he really believes he's like on cloud nine above this league. And that's... He probably has some good reasons to believe that because he won the league last year and he just made a trade. So he's got some trade endorphins going through his brain. His little Brian McGinnis. He probably just shaved his pubes this week in honor of fantasy. freshly shorn
it's
to the
really
exact,
it's like to the contact
exact right specifications of how long it should be. You know, like, and so he's feeling good and that's fine, but I want to feel good like that and I want to get there. I want to see what he said about my team. He said the best set of wide receivers, the very worst running back setup, and I just disagree with that. I think I have guys that right now I don't have any standout guy, but I have three guys that could be very high point scorers in this, but if things break their way or in the second half of the year. Meanwhile, he has Reggie Bush, and he's like, oh, Reggie Bush is like money in the bank, dog. But meanwhile, Rashad Jennings and Peyton Hillis, they're scrubs. You know, like, if Charles gets hurt, Peyton Hillis will be a good back, you know? If MJP gets, you know, if he's out of shape and gets knocked up or gets hurt, Jennings will be a very, very good back. Like,
that's all hypotheticals, though, Ryan.
But that's fine. But Reggie Bush is not a hypothetical. Like, he's money. He's money.
No, he had two good games last year. Yeah, but you don't have to polarize it like that. I think... Reggie Bush is going to get his touches. I mean, he is going to be the lead back, you know, whether you like – I mean, it's on a shitty offense, so it's not like you're comparing Reggie Bush to LeSean McCoy or Ray Rice. But, you know, he is the number one back there where you have all backup running backs. And, you know, we had this argument before, but like Rashad Jennings, I mean, in game one, they already said that MJD is going to be the third down back. I guarantee you in week two, it will be reversed. And then by week three, Rashad Jennings won't even be a part of the picture. So you have, and Peyton Hillis, you know, he'll get some touches and hopefully he'll get some red zone touches. But, you know, depending on, you just don't know in the same way that I said.
In the same way Reggie Bush is a certainty in that same way. We don't know about my guys the way we know about Reggie Bush.
Yeah, but Reggie Bush isn't the backup.
Look, dude, how many running backs are timeshares in the NFL? What percentage of offenses have running back timeshares?
Well, who's Reggie Bush get a timeshare with?
Daniel Thomas. And if Reggie Bush was the only guy, I don't care.
He's still Reggie Bush.
He's still garbage on a garbage team.
And he's a big pussy.
He catches PPR checkdowns just like Sproles. That's what he does.
Well, that's how the league works, and I'm not going to puff up Reggie Bush. I'm just saying that, you know, I think he had a point about your running back situation because you just if someone does get hurt, you're right, you're money. I mean, but as it stands right now, we're looking at three backup running backs that you have there, and that's all you have really good wide receivers, but three backup running backs, and so I just think that. I think that you're going to find that that's going to hurt you a little bit. I mean, I like the Jaquizz Rodgers pick. I would have picked, you know, I thought about picking up him. just because I think Michael Turner is going to be done. So, I mean, it's good to have those guys, but looking at it week one, there's just there's not too many guarantees there.
Nick?
As I look down through these power rankings, I'm pretty happy with them. I think it would be great to see a Steph John final. I'm happy with Dave at 3, but then I see 4, 5, 6. I think those three picks, so that's B to the MAC, Fuzzy Duck, and Kavanaugh, I could see those kind of being intermingled. I could see Kavanaugh at 4. So there's some flexibility for me there. I'd probably put Goat Punishment above Steel City, and then the rest, you know, plays out as it would be. Although I'm not quite sure how the McCoy Pond Pirates got down at the bottom. I don't think people understand that you can better your future while still giving yourself a shot in this year. And through crafty drafting, that's exactly what I've done. Provided I hang on to Cam, I don't see myself, air quotes, flicking the bean. So that's bullshit, but whatever. So I'm pretty happy. What I hear in Ryan's voice is a little bit, Brian shouldn't be 4 and I shouldn't be 8. That's okay.
My main point is this. I'm not the one who made the distinction that my guy – like, I just feel like there's a double standard in play. If we're going to talk about question marks, let's talk about question marks. That's fine. Let's apply question marks across the board, you know?
Okay, fair enough.
That's my point, you know? That's all I'm saying. And to me, I don't see the huge distinction between, like, this depth chart. Like, a lot of guys split stuff 50-50 or 60-40, which is not, to me, like, the difference between a guy getting – I mean, it's not like – Charles is going to get 30 carries a game and Peyton Hillis is going to get 8. You know what I'm saying? Like, Charles is going to get 20. Hillis is going to get 10 to 12 to 15 and probably a lot of red zone stuff. So, like, that to me is still – he's still a legitimate player. It's not like he's going to average 6 points a game unless – I mean, he could average 10 or 12 points a game. He's going to get a lot of touchdowns.
The situation strikes me as Brandon Jacobs. Like, Peyton Hillis could potentially be Brandon Jacobs, where, you know, everyone said the same thing about Brandon Jacobs in the beginning, you know what I mean? And at the beginning of the season, and it just, I think there's potential there, but there's still a lot of unknowns as well.
Yeah, well, now's the time for speculation, you know, and we're going to find out.
Oh, yeah, beginning of the season.
We're going to find out.
Well, we're about 56 minutes. Should we get some send-off music or final thoughts?
Yeah, let's get some final thoughts. Nick, do you have any final thoughts about – let's talk about the trade. Are you pleased with the trade? Why didn't you fully explore the market? You know,
I appreciate you letting me address that. I think I did explore the market pretty fully. I talked to a number of managers. Insofar as I had one manager – I had to call or text and say, look, I've got this deal. Are you in or out? The day the trade was made. So it wasn't like I only talked to Brian. He was actually a latecomer to the discussion. I think I made a good trade. I think I did it for the right reasons. And I think I'm still going to be actively involved. I was pretty surprised that there wasn't a lot of response, or at least none that I've read or seen negatively, because I thought people were like, oh, Nick's thrown in the towel. But really what I did was I looked at it realistically and I said, I don't have a third, fourth, or fifth pick. John's got 4 second-round picks. It's going to be a tough year for me to win. So let's, you know, leverage the present value for future glory, and that's what I'm going for.
I just want to say that I think everyone stayed quiet on it because it's Brian. If I would have made that trade, everyone would have gone apeshit. That's all I have to say about that.
What do you mean by that?
There's an aura when it comes to me in this league. If I do something or say something, everyone overreacts or becomes this big thing. I think people would have gone apeshit if I made this trade. Oh, you know, made big stink about it. And, you know, Brian's pretty beloved. He's a good commish, and nobody's going to question it.
So if you think if you would have made that trade with Nick, would there have been talk of collusion or trade rape or both?
No, I just think that they would have, you know, obviously I've been pretty outspoken against, you know, what draft pick trading has done, i.e., McCoy Pond Pirates as they currently stand. And so, you know, people would have made a big stink about that if I would have aided that process.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I believe it. I don't know if I believe that, but I'll say that I do so that we can move on. Do I have any final thoughts? Here's my.
What do you think about the trade, Ryan?
I think it's fine. I'm not honestly that worked up about it. Brian gets the guy he wants. He gave up a second round pick. You gave him back your 13, right?
Yeah, I gave him back my 13, and I honestly wasn't too worried about that, but yeah.
Well, it seems to be the going rate. I mean,
right?
You know, like that's the standard like trade template now for people who don't. You know, it's not going to rock the boat. Both parties kind of agree that they're. Like, they have fair value. Brian's going to get his guy for the whole year, which is what he wants, you know.
Right.
And you're going to get a pick. And I felt like Brian drafted pretty well, and he's pretty confident that he can draft around the second-round pick that he gave away. So he's like, whatever, I'm going to go for it. That's cool. That's good. You know, I think he had one of the best drafts. I think him and John had good drafts. So, I mean – I don't blame him for doing it. I don't blame you for doing it. I think it's good. I think the league is better off now with draft pick trading than it was without draft pick trading. I think that's what we want. We want innovation in this league. We want an entrepreneurial spirit. Bureaucratic red tape, all things I'm in favor of.
Yeah, speaking of innovation, like thoughts for the future, one of the things that I was reading online that I thought was kind of interesting that we might want to consider for next, you know, down the road would be draft pick, you know, for keepers, you give up the pick that you use to select that player. So if you wanted to, you know, if you limit it to two keepers, and let's say I wanted to keep, you know, for some reason I wanted to keep the player that I selected in the ninth round. Then you give up your ninth round pick to keep that player. I thought that was a good idea as opposed to first keepers first round, second keeper second round. Just something to think.
Oh, dude, that's terrible. Because what was the one year where I think Tyler that got Arian Foster in the sixth or seventh round? Like then the next year you're saying that he could keep Arian Foster for his next year's sixth round pick. I mean that seems ludicrous to me.
I think it adds more payoff to people who do better job drafting. Because then you just get punished. So like he has a great year. Okay, you get him for 3 years. You did your research, you picked, you know, you knew this, like let's say Richardson goes nuts. Oh, I guess he got picked pretty early too, but if you find that diamond in the rough, I think you should, you know, you should get rewarded for that find. That's all I think.
Yeah, I think that's fair enough. What would you do with a guy like Victor Cruz who wasn't even drafted, or a guy like Cam that wasn't even drafted then?
That's a really good question that I haven't thought out, you know, initially, last, you know, your bottom pick, but I don't know. That's, again, I would be okay with it because I don't like the idea of, I waited. Nobody wanted this guy. I gave him a chance on my squad. He turns out to be an all-star. Now I have to pay through the teeth to keep him. I don't like that.
Yeah, that's fair. I'm sure we'll have a lot of discussion in terms of, like, with the draft, with the keepers and all that stuff, like, what works, what doesn't work, what can we do to make the league better?
Yeah, I just came across that as I was doing some
reading. Don't have that conversation during the season. You can't do that, apparently. You have to go wait till after the season.
It's very good for Eric. That's a very good conversation. I'm in agreement. Look, I'm not saying you can't discuss
it. I know you are.
I'm just saying you can't hold the league hostage in November. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I'm talking about for the future. I'm not talking about for right now.
So. Yeah, like we can't decide mid-season we want to change the rules, but we can talk. In fact, this is probably the best time to talk because it's the only time that most people are really interested in talking, you know.
Right.
In a solid way about what's best for
you. Man, Ryan, I wish we could pull up some previous conversations right now. Man. You're so funny, man.
Uh-oh.
What, Eric?
The same conversation in opposite sides. I was trying to have a conversation because now is the time, and you're like, no, we shouldn't talk about this till afterwards. And
well, I was deflecting you. I was deflecting you because I was tired of dealing with you trying to run the league into anarchy. All right. I needed to filibuster. There was a time.
Don't you mean socialism?
There's a time for logical discussion, and now cool with it. Look, what we found out, right? What we found out over the off season is nobody wants to talk about it in December. Nobody wants to talk about it in July. No one will put post on the boards except for three people. You know. So if we got a full league discussion now, then I'd be open to it because it would at least allow more people to contribute to the thing.
Well, what we should do is take an igloo vacation, and then we can talk about it a lot.
Yes. I think that's a good idea.
I agree. I agree with that. We can talk about that now, anytime.
That's a good one to end on, dude. That's
I think so.
All right, we're fresh out of time. Hopefully we can have a good week, no injuries, and let's roll out with some music here.
Yeah.
You gotta edit this shit.